In the last few years, I realized that everyone who has an idea or an opinion has a podcast, or they have some Instagram page, or they're trying to enter the market, and few have survived. Naqad Media is one of those groups that survived. This podcast is made possible by the generosity of listeners and viewers like you. Kindly consider a contribution through Patreon or PayPal. Links are in the details box. Any amount is appreciated. And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The handle, The Beirut Banyan. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And to stay updated with video releases, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks for listening, and thanks for watching. I'm Rani Shatah, and this is The Beirut Banyan. It took me time to know who exactly was behind Naqad. And then when I did, I actually got to know you guys during my father's commemoration last December. But we had messaged before a few times. You're very kind to me because you wanted to interview me about March 14. We just finished doing that. And now the tables are turned.
Yes.
I want to interview you.
We are hostages now.
You're hostages in my home. Yes, you are. You are. This was the book that came up while we were talking. It's the 28 days between February and March 2005 that changed this country. Let's talk about your generation. You're too young to remember March 14. That's why you come to the dinosaur in the room.
Yes.
Let's talk about your journey through politics. I know Naqad Media post October 17. Is this where your story begins politically, or does it go back earlier? Does it go back to your families? Does it go back to your university, watching TV? Where did your political ideas come from? I want to start with you, Carl.
نحن جايين من عائلة إذا بدك أنا شخصياً already كانت كتير مناضلة ب 14 أدار وكانت هي مؤمنة بفكرة 14 أدار وبحرية وسيادة واستقلال وبهالمنطقة الأساسية وأنه أهمية اللي صار على الطريق لخروج الجيش السوري الاحتلال السوري من لبنان. هلأ بوقتها كنا يمكن أصغر بكتير بلور هالفكرة شوي. هلأ أنا كمان أوريدي مخرج political science من الجامعة اللبنانية فكمان عندي هيدا الباكراوند السياسية. وقررنا بمحل معين شخصيا أنا أنه من بعد 17-20 وخاصة من بعد انفجار يعني 4 آب أنه في شيء غلط عم يصير بالبلد لأنه يعني إذا بدك فترة ما قبل ثورة 17-20 والانفجار الشباب كانوا شوي ضايعين بهالموجة اللي عم بتصير قبل ثورة 17-20 كانوا ضايعين بفكرة أنه نسهر ونتسلى وننبسط ونقضي وقت نعمل تريب بركة أو نسهر بين 17-20 والانفجار كانوا إذا بدك ضايعين بموجة مش عارفين أنه مين شو الصح وشو الغلط وشو لازم نحكي وشو ما لازم نحكي وبفقعت كلهم يعني كلهم هذا شيء كتير أساسي ومهم بس في شيء لازم يترجم على أرض الواقع وأنه شعارات هيك بالساحات كتير حلوة بس لازم تترجم وتتطبق سياسيا أو فكريا كمان وكان في إذا بدك نوع من الفكر اللي عم ياخد الشباب لكوتي بعيد شوي عن لبنان أو كيف تشبه لبنان وأردي نحن كمان يعني للأسف عنا ميليشيا فأنه عم بتترجم هي تفكيرها اللي بدها إياه وتطبق هذا الشيء بالقوة فجيت أنا واتفقت مع أنتوني حطينا هالفكر سوا
So you were in university when October 17 started?
Yes.
Okay, so you were a bachelor's degree?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to guess you're maybe a teenager, 19, around there?
21.
Okay, so just to give you some hindsight, the reason I'm speaking about age is I was 23 or 24 when March 14 began. So it's nice to have that kind of parallel. You're roughly the same age when the largest uprising in modern history takes place. So Anthony, is it a similar story?
Yes. All it's right. It's a bit different and it's very similar at the same time. So I met Carl when I was in university as well. I studied political marketing at the St. Joseph University of Beirut. Mm. And I met Carl on some political occasions, I would say. And we had this same idea. We discussed that people our age before the October 17 revolution were very distracted, and they know that there is so many problems happening with them on their day-to-day lives, but at the same time they don't know the reason of that. So they know they don't have electricity, but they don't blame anyone for not having electricity. They drive their small cars to university on very bad roads, and they don't blame anyone for having those bad roads. And they travel and they see like everything is going well outside of the country, kind of, and everything is bad here, but they don't blame anyone. So we wanted, you know, to bridge this gap between the problems that you're facing and putting faces on the cause of these problems. So this is why we tried to create this media platform that will resonate with the youth. We made it like this on purpose. We use simplified words. We don't try to educate people or, you know, we don't try to lecture people about stuff, because
it's nice to hear you saying that, because I get blamed for trying to educate people.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh. I get told all the time, stop trying to educate. Keep your language simple and use Instagram more, or try TikTok. So I'm glad you're saying that. You're not there to educate people.
No, not really, because people are educated. Our Lebanese people are very well educated, and they know what they're doing. But at the same time, they are not informed, if I want to say it like that. And they don't link the dots the right way. So this is why we stepped in, to try to put, like I said, faces to the cause, and at the same time try to present what's happening in a very simple way. Because some people are not interested in politics, because they think it's very disturbing and it's very, you know, hard to understand.
But you meet before October 17 or during the protests?
We met a very short time before that. Very short time before that. We worked together in a local radio station, Carl and I.
Okay. So you had already an idea of where you both stand.
Yes, of course.
Okay, and then October 17 begins.
Yes.
So is Naqad Media really just a reflection of your friendship and ideas online, or is it something else? Is it trying to steer October 17 in a direction? Because I did not know about Naqad naturally. I was actually introduced to the page. And it felt like this is more than just an opinion or two. It felt like it's almost like it's trying to revise what seems to be false narrative. So how would you best describe Naqad if you had to explain to somebody what it is? Maybe I can ask you, Carl. How would you define it? Maybe just like its actual meaning to you.
Okay. Maybe Naqad هي إذا بدك مثل مساحة تيكونوا الشباب عم يقدروا يعبروا عن رأيهم بوقت نحن كنا بحاجة نعبر عن رأينا. وما كان موجود هالسبيس ويمكن فترة عبرناها على الطريق ومن بعد قررنا نكون عم نعبر نحن من خلال الأفكار اللي ترجمناها على إنستغرام وقررنا أن نكون نحن صوت الشباب بمحل معين وتكون هيدا الفري سبيس بخلال يعني كل الأشخاص اللي من أعمارنا بفكروا مثلنا يكونوا عم بيقدروا يعبروا عن رأيهم بكل حرية وبلا أي قيود نوعا ما.
ما طلعنا كتار كتير by the way.
Oh yeah, so okay, thank you for saying this. So مين بهالجملة مين نحن؟ نحن
الشباب.
بس when you say نحن you mean where you were politically pre-October 17?
Yes.
So what does that mean to you guys? What exactly is that? Is it Wait, is it Kata'ib? Is it 14 Azar? Is it something else? What is it to you?
For me, is barke شو بقى من 14 أذار مش أحزاب معينة بس barke العالم اللي كانوا على الطريق والفكر اللي كان على الطريق مش بالأحزاب اللي جسدت وبيجي بعدين يمكن في منهم راحوا عملوا ديلز مع الأطراف التانيين أو barke راحوا اتفقوا من تحت الطاولة لا اللي هي إذا بدك النقد هي بتعبر عن مثل ما قلت لك السيادة والحرية والاستقلال يلي كان فعليا الأشخاص اللي عم بيفكروا فيها والناس مش الأحزاب أما مش حتى يعني مش السياسيين.
So that's I think why
I would say
yeah sorry go ahead
yeah please. I would say and I sometimes disagree with Carl on this specific thing like we were discussing just that قبل ما نصور. I don't blame the political parties for doing what they did because if they didn't do that most of them actually died. So it's either this or the explosions. So I don't blame that. But yes, for us, Naqad is not for the political parties. It's for the people of these political parties. Sometimes people that you know, have this nostalgia that they didn't even live. Our generation didn't even live any day of a good Lebanon, I would believe. Yani, like, if you ask my parents before war, it was not bad. My yeah. grandparents lived great years. They tell me this.
Yeah.
بتقلي كل مرة إنه this is, we used to have a good nation, actually, kind of. نحن ولا مرة we lived in a good nation, but we have this nostalgia inside that.
Yeah.
Yani, we have everything it takes to have a good country here. And
I think this is why your content resonates with me. It's because I wake up, depending on my mood, I'm either Anthony or Carl.
That's true.
Because, you know, I re-examine my own... What you said resonates with me, Guillaume. But Carl, the way you feel, also, it has impacted me a lot. Especially during October 17. But I think if I had to stretch it out, I'm literally right in the middle. And I think that's actually... a very unique voice in the October 17 crowd. So did you find like your peers were not seeing it the way you see it? Were you trying to fill a vacuum?
Yeah, it's when we entered this, it was an empty room, I would say. Like like-minded people were distracted and sometimes very high on misinformation, I would say, and and lies. And you know, it's different than what it used to be in October 14th, because in March 14th. No, in March 14th, it used to have a more stable ideology, I would say. And you know, you can simply say that we agree or we disagree. Whether it be 17 Tishrin, it was very different. It was very hard to say what we stand for, because. And I don't blame the people, because we lacked everything, actually. So it's easier for them to demand everything. لأنه ما عنا ولا شيء. يعني أيام 14 أدار كان عنا المينيموم إذا بدك. مش هناك ما كنا نطلب المينيموم. كنا نطلب إشياء أعلى. بس ب 17 تشرين المينيموم ما عنا إيه. الإشياء الأعلى ما عنا إياه.
المطالب اختلفت.
المطالب اختلفت لأنه الناس اختلفت. يعني ما بقى في شيء بالبلد. مش هناك أنا I don't blame the people. بس كمان إذا بدك العالم اللي ما انجرت بال... كيف بدي لك اياها؟ العالم اللي ما انجرد بهيدا الناراتيف اللي جرب يحرق كل شيء، لانه كان بعد في اشياء ما بدها حرق يعني
نحن yeah, كمان. I agree.
ايه ما مش ضروري نجلد حالنا.
Did you find that you were looking at social media to see where the gaps are filled, or is this just literally talking to people on the street? Because I know Nakad only from Instagram. And I think that's where every content I've seen shared, it's on social media. I didn't really engage the earlier website, but I know the posts.
Yes.
Is that deliberate on your part that you wanted to target Instagram users?
Like, yes, because we wanted to target people our age, and people our age are naturally on Instagram.
Yeah.
They follow BO18 and Grand Factory.
So you're trying to compete with
yes. BO18? Yes. Yeah. These are our main competitors, BO18.
That's why I don't understand social media.
No, but like jokes apart, yeah. People are already there. So we wanted to go to them instead of bringing them to our ideologies and like sitting yeah. on a, you know, on a stone or on a big chair. We wanted to make it more, we wanted to democratize the way we think
yeah.
to resonate more with people. But this is the first step. The second step is actually try to shift and try to find the loyal people that are interested in continuing doing what we're doing into a more sustainable platform. And mm. This is why we're actually launching a new website. Maybe Carl would talk about this more, but we're launching like a new website because we wanted to own the platform as well. Like, no, we don't own Instagram, unfortunately.
Oh, I see. Meaning own the content lives permanently.
On another people's platform, and we don't know what will they do with these. Hmm. For example, Google just deleted unused Gmail accounts on the first months of this year.
Uh-huh.
So if you didn't use your Gmail for like 2 years or something, they deleted your
yes.
wow. your Gmail account. So we never know what will happen after that.
Might be a good thing.
Maybe.
If it was all those emails, you shouldn't try. Actually, sometimes when I open Facebook Messenger, I get somebody who hasn't messaged me in 15 years, and the last message is there. I don't know if I want to remember that person. So I'll ask you, Carl, and you mentioned between October 17 and August 4, 2020, that's when this sort of takes off. In the last, since the blast and the way all of us use social media to express ourselves, do you think Nakad delivered its job and trying to fill the space you were talking about, do you feel like it actually serves a purpose? And this could be putting the emphasis on certain actors. It could be trying to reshape narrative to a younger audience. It could even be trying to remind us of what we lost. It's not an accident March 14 is being remembered by you, not by any other platform. As far as I know, Megaphone, which is one of its key figures, in my mind, is a celebration of March 14. I don't think Megaphone is going to touch it, as far as I know. Daraj Media, it would be very surprising if they went there. And I don't think it's their responsibility, but at the same time, it's obvious no one wants to talk about March 14.
Yes.
But you guys do.
Yes,
so it's a big question, but do you find like you're actually moving in a direction that makes sense since Naqad started?
Yes, of course. في حداً هيك بحب استعمل مقولته انه من بعد ما اجت 17 تشرين مع كل اهميتها واهميه المطالب يلي طالب فيها الشعب, مش يعني انه لازم نكب كل نضال الاشخاص يلي سبقوا من قبل. وهذا الشخص يلي قاله هو ميشي دياء دفعت ثمن كتير كبير, نضال السياسة والحرية اللي طالبت فيها والسقف العالي اللي طالبته كرمال خروج الاحتلال السوري من لبنان. فنحن على حقية 17 تشرين وإيمانا منا, ونحن كنا أشخاص موجودين على الأرض, بس مش هيدا الشيء بيعني أنه لازم نكب نضال كتير أشخاص كانوا عم بيناضلوا قبلنا, ونحن نجي هيدا الجنراسيون الجديدة لأنه نحن جداد وخلص يعني شو بقولوا مثل نشيل كل شيء صار قبلنا ونحن نبلش من جديد. فلا, في هيدا الشيء اذا كان بيحقق مطالبنا, ليش انه ما نكون عم نعمل مثل كانه كولاب؟ يعني هي اكثر انه كانه نكون عم نربط الماضي, نضال الماضي بالمطالب الجديده والحاضر, ونكون عم نوصل الصوت الاساسي. لانه انا بالنسبه لي بمحل معين يعني مع انه 14 اذار هي كانت اكثر مطالبها سياسيه, بس لو هدول المطالب السياسيه تحققت مثل ما كان الشعب عم بيطالب, ما كنا وصلنا ل 17 تشرين ولهيدا الانفجار الكبير اللي عشناه. فمن هون نحن هذا الشيء بنؤمن فيه اكيد. وكمان اليوم نقد اكيد بتطالب على طول او بتذكر على طول 14 اذار, كمان لانه في اشخاص هن جنراسيون جديده ما كتير عايشوا هذيك الفتره, بس بيأمنوا فيها بمحل معين, بيأمنوا بمطالبها, وبذات الوقت بيأمنوا بمطالب 17 تشرين. فليش نحن بدنا نكون عم نحكي عن شيء ويعني مثل نشيل شيء تاني؟ فليش ما بنكون نحن عم نجمع الاثنين, مع انه الاثنين مهمين واساسيين؟ من هون نحن كنا عم نحكي بهيدي اللغه الاساسيه, ومنه شيء غلط ومنه شيء عيب ابدا يعني نكون عم نذكر 14 اذار.
But I'll ask it maybe in a different way. When you share content on Instagram, we'll get to the website at the end, because I want to emphasize that's really why we're talking.
Yes.
But the posting on Instagram and then the political reality you see outside, do you find that there's any connection between your aspirations and what's happening? Because I don't know if you feel the same way. I feel like it's more venting than anything. I don't know if any post I've ever done has had any impact on anyone, other than people sometimes unfollow me. And for me, that's a good thing. I don't chase numbers. I try to educate. That's why I lose people. But educating not in a condescending way, more in a, these are facts. You can't just share fiction. You have to actually share fact. But do you find frustration in that the posts could be exactly what you see as a problem, yet the problem gets worse? Do you feel like your goals are being achieved?
Let me answer this if you want. Not really. Not really. But someone told me something that is very reasonable, I would say. Or maybe I want to believe it because it's easier for me to believe it, actually. Someone told me that change does not happen right away, and Lebanon is part of something way bigger. It's the region, it's the world, whatsoever. But you need to create a ground that is willing to accept the things that you want once everything is put on the right track. You know, it's not now, but you want to create this. You want to create this ground that would change sometimes of the ideologies, of the identity, not the identity, change the ideologies, change the way people think, or maybe let them ask more questions. So when there's an opportunity to actually implement what we ask for or what we believe in, to have like-minded people gathered under one roof, or we, at least we know their names, some of their names. You know, we want to create, to transform this into a small community, because we are, as I said, we are not very popular right now in terms of ideologies, unfortunately, in Lebanon of today. But we want to gather all these people under one roof. So whenever there's an opportunity for us to maybe be more, or to maybe implement a sovereign Lebanon, or to maybe implement what we believe in, to actually people find, like, there is people demanding that. And it's not like an empty room as like what we entered to before creating our platform.
When you say community, is it meant really just for ideas to be explored, or are you talking about political change? I don't know if I'm being too bleak when I speak. I don't know if there's ever been a better moment, pre-October 7 at least, where the volume was so high against Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is at its most visible. And then October 8 happens, and we're, like you said, in a visible minority, and that people are quiet.
Yes.
Today. The temperature went down. Even the most vocal critics of Hezbollah sometimes prefer traction, and they prefer engagement online than they do the real content that matters. And I've seen people openly praise Hezbollah.
Oh, we've seen this.
Yeah, from people that are...
From people you wouldn't even imagine tried these. Like, right. The people that actually work on the investigative reports from the Hezbollah on French televisions. Yeah, we had the creator of the documentary saying a comment, saying something like, I'm not quoting, saying something like, I feel safe when there's Hezbollah now.
That's a great quote. I've heard that being used by almost everyone that I would not expect them to say that pre-October 7. And then that's...
Yes.
So do you find that Nakhla does have a political utility, or is it really just for the noble minority to still feel like we are relevant? I'm trying to see what value there is to that.
There is a utility. There is a utility. Maybe Carl would continue on that, but I would say there is a utility. And sometimes because we don't just create the content, we share the content and we discuss it with the audience. And when we see that some people wanted to say this, but they just couldn't find the words, or they just couldn't transform it into a nice, you know, good-looking image or something.
Mm.
So we create this for them as well, because, okay, we're not a lot of people now thinking like that, but some people are afraid as well. Yeah. We don't want to forget that.
Yeah.
So many people resonate with what we say, but they don't say it because they are afraid, or they are simply not interested, or they don't find the right words.
Yeah.
So we are for the ideologies, but at the same time, we are for these kind of, you know, communities and people that also share these with us. And the people that are, you know, gray, they have no opinion on that, because they think that Hezbollah, you know, is harmful for us. But at the same time, now Israel is bombing Lebanon. And
I think that's where the majority is.
Yes.
Of the ones that are critical of that group.
That's true.
I think that's where they are.
And we also try to scratch this, you know, majority saying that, you know, October 7 actually happened.
There's too many dates to
remember. October 7 happened, but something else happened on October 8th. So Hezbollah started this conflict from our side.
Yeah.
And they said it's for like helping Gaza. It's very questionable, because if you see Gaza right now, you can easily say that no one helped Gaza.
Yeah, that's anyway. Well said.
So after October 7, October 8 happened in Lebanon, and Hezbollah started this conflict, war, mini war, you name it.
Yeah.
But we started this actually from our side. And this is the reason why in Jordan, there's nothing similar to this. Jordan is very much closer to Gaza than what we are, like geographically.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Egypt. I don't say they are doing great. Of course not. But at the same time, this is very harmful for us. We cannot have more empathy to what's happening in Gaza because we are fearing our lives. So this is harmful for us as well, because as a platform or as a people, we want to be more vocal about what's happening in Gaza. But at the same time, Hezbollah is not letting us, because we fear ourselves and we post about what's happening with us as well. If this is not happening, we would be more vocal and we would actually have more content about what's the bad things that are happening in Gaza.
I'll ask it better. It's my fault for not asking it in a more specific way. If you want, Carl, you can answer this. Do you feel like your battle is one based on narrative only? That, in other words, you know that there's not going to be a president based on what you post, or that Hezbollah's decisions have nothing to do with how we talk about them online. Is there an acknowledgement that this is simply a narrative war? It's really a battle of ideas. It's not a battle of politics. That's where I find a wall always in that. I know people can vent more now than they used to pre-March 14. Under Syrian occupation, none of this was possible. In print, on television, MTV shut down. Yes. MTV was not part of March 14 because it was not allowed to air from 2000 until 2008 or so.
2009,
yes. So you can't imagine MTV today without talking about Hezbollah. So we can all talk. I think all of us can talk at Mabidna. But I meant that in terms of talking versus where things move. Is there any frustration in that you share content knowing that this content doesn't translate to more than that?
Carl would continue, sorry, but it's cumulative. I would say that because I wanted to say that. تراكمية القصة. You cannot find the result right now. القصص بتتراكم, and elections are coming one way or another now, 4 years, 8 years from now. And you know, if you still find people talking like that once, twice, three times per day, you would take 1% of this and actually have it in you while you're going and putting this in the ballot, if we ever have like
So this great is really elections. Just foundation for when there's better opportunities later.
Yes. Okay. This is why I told you need to have the ground ready for something that might help you change. We are not changing things, but we are like doing, you know, we are putting a small, we say it better in Arabic. يعني إذا بدك إذا عم نكسر الحيط نحنا عم نضرب الحيط بخشبة صغيرة, بس إنه في عالم تاني رح تضرب الحيط بصخور ونحنا منكون بهالخشبة عم نهيئ الحيط ليكون ready للصخرة الكبيرة.
So you acknowledge your limitations in this journey. There's a self-acknowledgement that this is not now.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Okay, I like that. I like that you're acknowledging this. So Carl, let me push on you on the website. Why are you relaunching the website now? Is it that social media has become problematic for politics? I know that my content, if it's political, it's not naturally promoted. Yes. Is that right? I don't remember the word that they use. It doesn't get naturally shared anymore. Politics is being slapped down on Instagram. Yes. Is that why the website's coming, or is it other reasons?
Yes, of course. سبب أساسي إنه أول شيء على الويبسايت بيكون في مساحة أوسع ليكونوا الشباب والصبايا عم بيقدروا يعبروا عن رأيهم بلا قيود الألغوريتم اللي بيحطوها علينا, وبيستفيدوا منك كمان الجيش الإلكتروني تبع الأحزاب, وخاصة الجيش الإلكتروني تبع لحزب الله. يعني نحن صار معنا شيء بال2021 كنا منزلين بوست عن حزب الله مننتقده مثل ما كل مرة مننتقد حزب الله, لأنه إنستغرام وفيسبوك وميتا بيعتبروا أنه حزب الله هو منظم إرهابية, فنحن ما فينا نحكي عنه. والشباب أدمنهم
عنهم أو ضدهم.
yes, 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 yeah, أكيد. Yeah. ما فينا نحكي عنهم, يعني ما فينا نجيب سيرتهم أبدا.
right.
والشباب أدمنهم أسكيا كمان, الجيش الإلكتروني تبع حزب الله استفاد من هيدا إذا بدك هيك اللعبة. بصير يعمل ريبورت على أساس نحن عم نشجع منظم إرهابية, فبتتسكر البيج. وهذا اللي صار معنا لما صار غزوة عين الرمان, ولما طلع قال حسن نصر الله أنه هو عنده 100,000 مقاتل. فهذا اللي صار معنا, فقررنا من وقتها أنه نكون عم ناخد حذرنا. أخذت معنا كتير وقت الخبرية لقررنا بالآخر أنه نكون عم نطلق الويبسايت تبعنا بهذه الطريقة, يكون إذا بدك مثل يعني هو عم بيعبر عن الرسالة تبعنا اللي هو safe space للشباب اللي يقدروا يعبروا عن رأيهم بلا قيود الألغوريتم, كمان بلا ما أنه يكون محدود بأي شيء. وهذا شيء نحن بنملكه, بيكون عم كمان عم نوسع الارشيف تبعنا. كل الكونتنت بيكون نازل بطريقه ان كان صغيره او كبيره, او حتى كمان يكون فيه تفاعل اكتر ان كان فيديوز او بودكاست. فهيك بيكون كمان بذات الوقت نحن عنا الرقابه عليه, ونحن بنكون عم نشتغل بطريقه تكون بتناسب نقد.
Are you trying to reach a different audience? Is that part of it?
Yes, so of course.
How do you describe that audience? Who are you trying to reach with a website? You're going to reach me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but
it's always a good thing.
Well, I'll be in the comments section.
Yeah, please.
Arguing with myself, Tahit.
I will answer back.
Yeah, please do it. Like that, Ronnie. Sorry.
I will. That's my fault. I will create a fake account like Luli Booba or something.
Luli Booba. This is great me. Name.
Oh, Tantun.
Tantun. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I verified my account. I had me on social media. I'm like, that's not me. It's a fake me.
Yeah.
Report. Yeah, so I verified. So who's the intended audience through a website?
Okay. Hello. إذا بدك نحن من أول ما انطلقنا لليوم كنا عم نركز أكتر شيء على لبنان والفئة الشبابية اللي هي بلبنان, بس حسينا بمحل معين أنه ما بدنا بقى ننحد بعدد معين أو بعدد قراءة معين. يعني إذا بدك بالستراتيجي اللي حطينا للفترة الجديدة أنه نكون كمان بركة عم ننطلق أكتر للمنطقة, إن كان نكون عم نستهدف الجمهور بالأردن, بمصر, بالعراق, سوريا, خاصة بالمناطق يلي بالبلدان والمناطق يلي عندهم مشاكل مثلنا. يعني بالعراق بتصور مش وضع أفضل من عنا, هني كمان بيعانوا إذا بدك من الميليشيات الإيرانية ومن المشاكل نفسها, على اعتبار أنه نحن بلدان هيدي نزلناها من يومين الكاريكاتير أنه حزب الله هو قوة ردع بيمنع إذا بدك الخطر عن لبنان, بس إنه من نفس الشيء بالميليشيات بالعراق, فإنه هن مش قوة ردع عن البلدان طبعاً, هن قوة ردع عن إيران طبعاً يكون عم تتعرض لأي شيء, وبالآخر لبنان والعراق بيأكلوا نصيب من هالتوسع.
Are you trying to reach an Iraqi audience, or is that for Lebanese to learn from their?
No,
no.
بنجرب كمان نوصل للجمهور العراقي, لأنه كمان مثل ما قلت لك عندهم مشاكل كتير بتشبهنا. حتى بالأردن يمكن أوكي ما في ميليشيات وما في هذا الشيء, بس عندهم كمان إذا بدك مثل شبه بالمواضيع الاجتماعية, فكمان نحن من الهدف من الويب سايت أنه نكون كمان عم نتوسع ونتطرق لهذه الفئة.
Why are you going down that road? That to me is always an interesting journey. A lot of websites decide to become as wide as possible. Daraj Media, Rasif 22, I can't imagine Naqad. Sorry to say this. I can't imagine it in Erbil being sort of watched or looked at, or like, I don't know, some election be بعد سنة سنتين هونيك, and people are like turning to Naqad. So why are you going that road? I always, this is a disadvantage for me, I limit myself in terms of growth on this very strange country here. Because for me, it seems like that's the story. I have no authority elsewhere. I maybe have some, people do listen some to some degree to people here about here. Why are you going down this road? Is it that you've given up on Lebanon only as a cause? Or what is it? Is it monetarily better? What is the advantage?
Okay, it's a bit of everything that you mentioned, actually. I also thought that, we also thought that to limit ourselves to what's happening here, because we created this out of a cause. Yeah. We are fighting something. It's not just like reporting. We are not CNN or LBC.
Or for that matter, you don't have the infrastructure yet.
Of course
at least
not. Of course
a well-honed machine.
Yes, of course not.
Yeah.
But you know, when we left the country, when we traveled for work or something, and we met with other journalists from the region, you will be surprised of the similarities that we have in terms of the big problems. I'm not talking about like rights of, you know, the day-to-day human rights that we all lack in the region, of course. But the problems that we thought that it's only limited to Lebanon, it's not. Because Iran, unfortunately, has arms all over the region. And we are facing the same problems that the Iraqi people are facing and the Yemeni people are facing. And sometimes the Syrians are facing. So we thought, if we are having this for a cause, it's the same cause. in the region. And fortunately,
the cause is the same.
Yes.
I see. So you won't go to Libya?
Of course not.
Of course not.
Oh,
of course
I
not.
See. So it has to be related to Lebanon.
Yes. Yes. But it's because it's the same cause. It's the same people actually doing the harm.
Yeah.
Different names, different logos, very similar logos though.
So it's really, it's the cause has to be familiar.
And also we find that it's a very saturated, now talking like growth and development and a kind of a business perspective. The followers that we have are everyone that thinks like we do. And that's it. It's
business wise, it makes sense to expand your audience.
لأنه قلت لك مش كتار نحنا بلبنان.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
The like-minded people, منا بقى كتير كتار وأغلبيتنا. نحنا when we see the how do you say the numbers, the metrics that we have, many people, Lebanese people, are seeing our posts and engaging with us on the website or online from abroad.
Yeah, that's same here.
30% of them, maybe.
Yeah. Oh,
That's a lot.
That's
That's a lot. And mainly, most of them are friends or friends of friends that were here and actually left. So it's something and everything at the same time. We want the same cause, but at the same time, we want a bigger market. We want a bigger voice. And you know, such initiatives are not very common there. In Iraq, for example.
Do you find any restrictions there from here? Do you have problems posting content about Iraq from here? Or is that something you don't have to really worry about?
No.
Okay, so censorship for them, can it be applied here?
No, but what might happen is like what happened with Daraj as well. Mm-hmm. So Daraj is banned in Egypt, so they can post whatever they want, but the Egyptian people wouldn't be able to read
without VPN.
So this is something that we didn't face yet because we didn't, you know, we didn't scare them enough yet.
Right. But the idea is to replicate that model.
Yes.
Go from Lebanese and make it shared.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this is the idea. But also, we will keep this Lebanese spirit in it, and we will try to transform this. You know, in March 14, there is this very great slogan that I adore: "Is I love life." And it was a website actually, ilovelife.com. It was a campaign. So, and this resonates a lot with Lebanese people. We love life, and everyone actually else love life in the region. But there's people not allowing us to celebrate enough. So we want to, you know, to share this celebration of life and from here to the region as well. Because at the end of the day, we have something very nice that we have is we all talk in the same language, and this is a perk for us.
That's actually, I was going to ask you one more question, Carl, maybe I can ask you. Do you find it useful to remain both in English and Arabic, even when you're going abroad?
Yes, of course.
So the website's going to be both?
Yes.
Is there a financial benefit to that at all?
Not financial, maybe more أكتر كرمال الريتش وكرمال نقدر نوصل للفئة العمرية. بما أنه نحن كنا أول فترة يعني لليوم تقريبا منركز أكتر على المواضيع اللبنانية, فبركي للفئة العمرية اللي هي من أعمارنا بين 18 و 35 بفضل يكونوا عم بيقروا بالإنجليش كمان أكتر وبيرتاحوا يمكن أكتر وبيقدر يفهموا أكتر التوبيك أكتر إن كان بالإنجليش. فقررنا نكون عم نعمل ميلانج بين الإنجليش والعربي. العربي شيء أساسي, وبلس كمان حيكون في سكشن إن إنجليش تكون عم منترجم أو عم نحول هالأفكار باللغة الإنجليزية, فهيك تيكونوا كمان الشباب اللي بأعمارنا يمكن عندهم شوي بمحل معين بفضل يكونوا عم يقروا بالإنجليش يكونوا أكتر عم توصلون الفكرة, وبسات الوقت بيكون عم بيكبر الأودينس شوي وشوي.
I like hearing you both unapologetic about March 14.
Yes.
And I struggled a few days ago. I actually found the answer. It's here. A few days ago, I was trying to find guests to reflect on March 14 that are not above 50. I asked a few friends that are closer in my age. They were all uncomfortable being labeled. I said, don't label, just talk about it. That's discomfort from my generation. The older generation, I don't want them to be the voice of March 14, even though they were on the street. But I'd rather have somebody who's not losing their hair or their mind. And I went younger. The younger crowd that I thought could deliver were not interested. which means they're not, it's, to them it's nothing, it's meaningless. They're October 17 through and through. I like that you are able to be both. You're actually comfortable being both.
Yes. No, I want to say something about that because there's something bad happening.
And so one more thing, and then I'll let, it's, you're both, and you're inclusive to the region. That's unique.
Yes.
So you're not afraid to reach out to other, you're not discriminating. It's not like this country is absolute. You're willing to engage. I think that's Lebanon to me.
Yes.
So sorry, keep going.
Yeah, and I cannot agree more with you. This is Lebanon. It's a, the whole country is a platform. It used to be a platform that welcomes everyone here to discuss big topics that are not allowed elsewhere. And we want this to transform this experience into something that can be implemented in so many cities around the world and the region specifically. Now, going back to March 14, there is something bad happening here. Every few years, we destroy everything and we build from scratch. And when you do that, you cannot move forward. You will stay.
What are we building? I don't know.
No, built anything now nothing. But nothing, I mean, like after the war, we started the country again. After the port explosion, we rebuilt Marm Khayl again. We didn't create new things. We just rebuilt what we already had. And we don't want to do that in politics as well. So this is why we need to build on March 14 and not destroy it and start again with October 17. And this is the thing that we want to bring to the people, that March 14 had so many beautiful things that we need to build on and not destroy. Okay, you don't like the faces of them because they will remind you of war, or they will remind you of the... That's fine. That's fine. Look at the faces that got actually killed. You would like them more. But these faces are not present with us today because they got killed because they said that and they went to the streets. Yeah. And, you know, being loyal to these sacrifices, we cannot start from scratch and say like nothing happened. Carl said something about my Shidya. I would say something about my brother. My brother actually said to me something very nice. It's a nice quote. It's in Arabic. He said, إذا أنت ب 17 تشرين قبل 17 تشرين ما كنت تحضر أخبار. هني مش يعني ما كانوا يحطوا أخبار. هني كانوا يحطوا أخبار بس أنت ما كنت تحضر. Which means, you know, this resonates everything that we want to say. So
really funny.
History was actually present.
هو أكبر منك شوي.
هو أصغر مني.
أصغر منك.
هو أصغر مني. بس he's very much politically aware. مثلي يعني. He's a great man.
Yeah.
I like him. This is what he said to me. And this resonates a lot with what we do because كان في تاريخ للبنان قبل 17 تشرين كتير كبير وكان في تضحيات وهيدي ما بتلغي 17 تشرين بس ما بتلغي 14 أدار وحتى نحن ضد إنه ننسى الحرب يعني نحن ما بدنا نعيدها بس مش يعني بدنا ننساها للحرب لأنه في أشياء سببت الحرب.
I'm always hard on the young generation. I shouldn't be.
Yes.
I think you guys have actually defied my feelings. It's great to hear you reflect on a country that you're young, but you have so much nuance already, and you're not dismissing a moment that I think, unfortunately, too many now think of as problematic.
Yeah.
March 14 was not problematic.
Of course not.
I'm glad that you guys can own that. In the digital space that I don't know well enough, which is social media, and soon back on a website, naqad.media.
That's true.
Easy to remember.
Yes.
Anthony Barakat, Carl Haddad, thank you.
Thank you so much, Ronnie, for having us.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Thanks for listening and watching. And a friendly reminder to support this podcast by contributing through Patreon or PayPal. All links are in the details box. Until next time, I'm Ronnie Shattah, and this is the Beirut Banyan.